Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now your host, award-winning Jessica R. Bunavage. Hey, Jess.
Hey. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Happy Martin Luther King's Day.
Jess, I'm so glad we're gathering here today. First and foremost, you know, we did last week's show and you told everyone that you have COVID. How are you? What's up, girl? Tell us everything.
Oh, gosh, I'm so much 100% better.
Cool.
Now my breathing, everything, I was able to work out perfect.
And how's your family?
My family is everyone is good. We just retested negative. My husband's still coughing, but he's all good. Everyone
good.
Is good. So
good.
Yeah. But we passed the whole COVID
without the trial and the tribulation.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice.
Well, you know, today we've got a really great show coming up because we have joining us in just a bit Rolanda Watts. You all remember Rolanda Watts. She's going to be here in a moment. She's been friend to the show forever. And of course, she's had her syndicated show. So we're going to talk to Rolanda about Martin Luther King, because one thing, Jess, that you and I talked about is coming from the Philippines, you didn't even know who he was.
No, I really didn't. I know of his name, but the things that I didn't even know he was a reverend. He was a Baptist reverend. And I didn't even know. I'm so sorry.
No, listen, that's why we're here.
The polished
woman is here to educate women so that they become polished, you know, and that they learn and know and grow. You know, Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you learn, teach. So that's what we're doing here.
Yes.
We're teaching, you know.
And this is most especially to the, you know, the immigrants like me and the people who are from the other country who are listening to us right now. These are all for you. You know, we kind of like, okay.
Absolutely.
We all know about, you know, Martin Luther King, but what did he really do? And we have a guest right now that we invited on our show. And she was, you know, she was close to the family. She was invited right to the memorial of her of Martin Luther's daughter.
Right, and you know what? And before we get into Rolanda, we're going to do a replay after we interview Rolanda, which is about immigrant women who have come to America, who have contributed to society in the sense that they started businesses, they're thriving, they're doing well, they're polished women, and that the dream of being an American is possible. You know, we have a new administration coming in, so hopefully more dreamers are going to be welcomed here. And also, we want to inspire women to start their businesses. It's okay if you're an immigrant. It's okay if English wasn't your second language or first language. Jessica is pure testament to that. She came to America, didn't speak English. 3 years later, we have a Telly Award, Communicator Awards, W3 Awards, Davey Awards, because you did your passion, right?
And you can still make your dream happen, right?
Yeah, you can.
Martin Luther said, make your dream happen, even if I was 50 years old.
I have a dream. I mean, that is the famous, I have a dream. And there's a quote, Jess, that I want to share with you from Martin Luther King before we bring Rolanda on. So I'm Max Tucci, everyone. I am the executive producer here for The Polished Woman. Thank you for joining us. Follow Jess at The Polished Woman on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. Follow her there, DM her, love her, because I know she loves you. Love is the thread of your show. It is the golden thread of The Polished Woman. After every show, Jessica says, give love to the next person that you see. Well, Martin Luther King has a quote, Jess, that I know you're going to love. And the quote is, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great of a burden to bear. I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. So Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh my gosh, so true.
If you
have so much hate in your, you know, in your system, in your body, you're never ever gonna be happy.
No, and like attracts like. If you put hate out there, hate is gonna come back to you, you know?
I love that. I love that he said that about love. And you know, another thing that he also that I've learned yesterday the two things that he really is very passionate about, of course, love is there, forgiving people that have done wrong to you.
And Rolanda Watts has done many shows about that, about forgiving people and about having, you know, she did a big famous show with the KKK. So maybe we could talk about that. But, you know, there's a great show that's on and it says, my next guest doesn't need an introduction. Yes. Rolanda Watts does not need an introduction. Yes. So welcome to the show, Rolanda Watts of The Polished Woman.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hey, you guys. Hey. I'm loving.
Rolanda doesn't need an introduction.
Listen. I don't know. My name precedes me.
It does.
I guess I'm just an OG in the business, as they call me now.
You know what? I want to even push it to you're an icon in the business because you truly are. I call you Auntie Ro. So when you hear me referring to Ro as Auntie Ro, you all know why, because that's my Auntie Ro.
But
Auntie Ro, you are an icon. You have paved the way, not only for Black women, but for women on television, in journalism. Yeah. You know, you've been through it. You know about it firsthand. You've inspired Jessica to be here today. Yeah. So I want to say thank you. But Jess, it's your show, so take it away.
Rolanda, thank you so much, you know, for being on the show. And I love all your stories about Martin Luther. But Max and I just spoke about this today. You know, a lot of people who are immigrants like me we all know his name, but what did he really do for the country? And especially for our listeners who are out of, you know, who are from out of the country. We have a lot of listeners from Brazil and from Netherlands, I believe. What did he really do for this country? What is the change that he did for this country, for the United States?
Well, he was just known for, number one, he what he did for the world, really. I mean, a lot like what Mahatma Gandhi did and a lot what Nelson Mandela did.
Yeah.
I mean, here were these amazing human beings that despite their adversities, everything set up against them. Yeah. They maintained a resiliency and a resistance and a movement, a revolution that was done with love and done in passive ways and peaceful ways. The most peaceful movement, with all of its violent responses, the civil rights movement was a movement of love and of peace and humanity. It was more than civil rights. It was about human rights. And the beauty of the Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. is that he took his message worldwide and beyond the Black community. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King was also very well known for sticking up for people who were poor. Mm-hmm. And that included white people and particularly women. Poverty was what he called, quote, a monstrous octopus. And it was one of the most inhumane injustices. He said, look at this country. We're so rich and we store food. Why don't we store food in the bellies of children in India and the bellies of children in Africa and the bellies of children in the Appalachian Mountains of Kentucky? Why don't we make sure we're fed first? And he reminded us of this history that all men are created equal. But the thing I think that resonated, and you and Max were talking about this at the beginning of the show, is that he was able to take a struggle and an injustice and turn it into a massive and positive movement. Because what he talked about, love, and I have a dream. That's the first thing y'all talked about. Yes. That's what connects us all together.
Yes.
He didn't say, I have a plan today. I have a strategy. I have a tip for you. No, he said, I have a dream. And don't we all have a dream? Didn't you have a dream when you dreamed of coming to America? Yes. And you dreamed of justice and you dreamed of, you know, being of equality and you dreamed of richness and your belly's full and your house is warm. Everybody dreams of that. Yeah. So why should one segment of people, just because of the way they were born and the color of their skin, has nothing to do with the content of the character,
absolutely,
what they contribute. Why should they suffer most? So he had quite a humane and civil platform and unapologetically won that revolution that still continues today. And I think the fact that we're still talking about it and we're still moving in the way that he made the promise that it had to be massive and it had to be positive. I mean, we see what happens when it's negative, you know, and it is a few folks, you know, i.e. our nation's capital. But I think that what he proved was that you can change the world with peace and love, and that love endures.
Absolutely.
All.
You know, I saw this yesterday. That's a very, very nice thing to say about him. So yesterday I saw this video, and there's this, I don't know if I think that was his daughter, and he said that in order to be free and to have peace, the two things that are important to him is to forgive people who have done wrong and the fear of death. If those two are, you know, if you do those two, then you have the freedom, you're free and you're at peace, which is so true. Because if you're, you know, if you have so much love in your life and your system, your, you know, that permeates in your nerve, I mean, you can easily forgive person even if they, you know, even if they did wrong to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, what is the good book teaches us that we have to forgive. I mean, mm-hmm. to move on in life, we have to forgive. You know, Martin Luther King also looked at the world as, you know, he said that there were three massive changes that we faced. And you know, the things he talked about in the 60s were the things we talk about today, mm-hmm. that there was a triple revolution going on technologically, with weapons, yes. and with human rights. Yes. And he talked about how we should not just look at humanity as a neighborhood, but as a brotherhood. And, you know, you'll forgive your family a lot quicker than you will a neighbor. Yeah. So I think the way that was the way, you know.
It depends who your family is, though.
I know. As crazy as your family is, that's true. Listen, even the people climbing up the Capitol are related to somebody.
That's
so
right.
Everybody's got a family.
Bro, I want to touch real quick on something that you said earlier about injustice and justice, yeah. because one of the most beautiful quotes that I remember of Reverend Martin Luther King is injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, there's so many quotes that free at last, they might be free at last, or free right now in this moment, Rolanda.
Well, first of all, let's listen to the deal with humanity. How many of us have not yelled, "We are free at last"? The Jews yelled it. And then the Jews also said, if one of us is in trouble, all of us are in trouble. Mm-hmm. It wasn't long ago when in New York City, you would see posters in the stores that say Irish need not apply. Mm-hmm. And then when they came down, free at last, we can get jobs now, we're free at last. I think that this is the ringing of humanity, that we all long to be free and have the opportunity to live our best lives. And I don't think that's a lot to ask to be on the earth. I think what Martin Luther King was also very good at is breaking down and helping people understand that the Black folks are the only ones in this country who have ever been enslaved by the same people in this country. And it's kind of like being enslaved or being in prison for 240 years, and then suddenly by an Emancipation Act, you're free and nobody gives you a coat to wear or a ride to home, or there is no home and it didn't give you a place to live. I mean, what Martin Luther King pointed out is at the end of the day, and I think all of us in all cultures have this, you know, the big man upstairs is going to ask, what did you do? Yes. And many of us will say, we built great buildings. We had big cities, but many of us are going to say, but I was hungry and you fed me not. Yes. I was homeless and you housed me not. I was naked and you clothed me not. So what are we really doing, human beings? Where is that kindness? If we adapted more to humane acts of kindness, we wouldn't be having civil rights revolutions, because we would do the right thing. So, you know, I think those are the things that...
Yes, you know what I just came to mind too, is that, you know, another famous quote from Dr. Martin Luther King is that a riot is the language of the unheard.
That's right.
And everyone, Jess, you talk about it all the time here on The Polished Woman. Yeah. Do you see me? Do you hear me? Do I matter? Yeah. And, you know, Rolanda, to bring back to what you said, we must learn to live together, another quote, as brothers or perish together as fools.
That's
and
right.
Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?
That's right. And Dr. Martin Luther King also said, and so did JFK, and I'm roughly quoting, is they said, you know, man can kill war or war will kill man.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be, you know, and we all are wondering, if peace begins with me, what can I do? I mean, what does that look like? What can we do?
Jess, what is peace like to you, Jess?
You know, any concerns or whatsoever, but for now that we're actually talking about this, you know, we can always say that, give peace, give kindness, give whatever, but where does it really start? It has to start from your home, right? If you don't give kindness if you don't have peace in your home alone, I mean, how can you actually give peace, you know, and spread
to others?
Others, right?
Say, Jessica, you're also a mom and a wife, and you influence the kids who are friends of your kids. Yeah. I think what's important is to have these conversations about injustices and inequities. I mean, the kids know good and well. I mean, they probably have a lot better conversation because their world is so blended. Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, they can ask Auntie Ro. My generation, I'm 61. So I'm one of the last of the generations that actually had to drink colored water out of a colored fountain. What was that like when you weren't allowed to go in that bathroom or you weren't allowed to sit?
So tell us, Ro, what was that like?
Well, it sucked. I mean, I can remember, you know, my parents were very big into integration. So they stuck me. I was often the only Black in an all white kindergarten. I was the first to integrate the kindergartens and the only Black in my high school, only Black in my neighborhood. So we had to go through a lot. I can remember coming home one day, I was about 4 from kindergarten, and there was a note pinned on my sweater. And we were planning to go to Tanglewood Park the next day, you know, to ride the ponies and do all those things you do at the park. And I was so excited. And I just knew that that note was like what to wear and, you know, what to pack for lunch. And the next thing I know, we're going to go see my grandparents that day. I'm not going to school. And I held that against my mother for years. I'm about 16. And she said, "Do you know what that note said?" And I said, "No." And you wouldn't let me go to the park. And she goes, "That note said, Rolanda can't go to the park with the class tomorrow because the country club doesn't allow Blacks and Jews."
Wow.
And I, you know, at 4 years old, my parents protected me from so much. Skipped to being in high school, going to a dance, same thing happened. It was at the country club. We won't let Rolanda come. And my classmates, my girlfriends, still friends to this day, these white girls, stood up for me. And they were the daughters of R.J. Reynolds and, you know, big attorneys. And they said, "If Rolanda can't go, we're not going and we will shut down the party." And they changed the rules. But that's when I learned about people not remaining silent when there's a blatant injustice. And what I learned is that a lot of times racial prejudice isn't malicious. It's just that people need educable moments. And I think we need to talk about this and put the ugly elephant that's in the corner on the table and dress him up and make him at least presentable. You know, he's never going to be pretty, but at least we can make him presentable because he's not going anywhere. And I think that that takes a lot of courage. And, you know, Dr. Maya Angelou and you know, who, you know, was my auntie, not by blood, but by 35 years of being close to my family, was best friends with Dr. Martin Luther King. And marched a lot in the civil rights movement with him and was, you know, and was jeered at and all of that. And she, when he was assassinated on her birthday, and she never celebrated her birthday to that day.
Wow.
But one of the things that both of them stood for was don't be silent. You know, silence is another kind of violence, that you must speak up. You must train your children to speak up at school. When you see someone who's different just by the color of their skin, go and meet them. Do something different. You know, here's one of the last sermon that Dr. Martin Luther King gave, the last Sunday sermon, he quoted a passage from the book of Revelation, 16th chapter. And it says, "Behold, I make all things new. Former things are passed away.
Yes.
And we must move forward and trust and have faith, you know, in all the despair. Dr. Martin Luther King said, have hope. And I think today he would say the same thing, that we have got to have, we have hope and the revolution is not over.
It's but not.
But you cannot sleep. You have to remain awake. You have to stay woke, as the kids say.
You know, hey, Jess and Ro, there's a another great quote. There are so many great quotes from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. The one that I love is, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And Rolanda, you said, let there be hope. There is a Black woman going to be the Vice President of the United States of America in 2 days.
That's right. Look, a lot of people are saying that Joe Biden is the safest man in America because they're scared to have a Black president right now.
And you know what, though? This is another quote of Martin Luther King that I love. And it says, lightning makes no sound until it strikes.
That's right.
You know,
I love
and
that
the strike of lightning is making sounds on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, the ceiling is breaking. There is a Black woman. And I think that's what we forget. You know, last week with the riots, Jessica and Rolanda, we so combed over the importance of what was actually trying to be stopped, was that a Black woman was going to be the Vice President.
Yeah. They listen, the thing. the craziest thing, I think the thing that gets Donald Trump so much is he cannot believe, and listen, he's not alone. A lot of folks can't believe that of all states in the union, one that has notoriously been a George Wallace situation, that was the one state that turned him on his ear. And it was done by the power of Black women. And let me tell you, when that George Floyd, when that happened, I think Black women, Black mothers, Black sisters, Black aunties who have boys who are scared every day in America that their children aren't coming home.
Yeah.
We said enough. And we organized and strategized and turned Georgia around. The first Black senator, the first Jewish representative. And Stacey Adams, I get up to you. She did it. And look, and she did it peacefully, and she did it positively, and she did it massively. And that is how you beat the system. That is how you win. And it's not with war. It's not with violence. It's not with hate. It is about doing the right thing and being consistent and unapologetic and resistant about it. I am so proud of the state of Georgia. And having gone to Spelman College, and that is where I met the King family, Yolanda King was a dear sister to me. In fact, she was the one who inspired me to be an actress. She was the first actress I met, and I was majoring in theater arts, and she said, you can do this. She went on to have her own theater company. And yes, I was asked to host her memorial when she passed. She was a very, very dear friend and big sister and mentor to me. Also, I went to school with Dexter, Dr. Martin Luther King's younger son. And I knew Dr. Martin Luther King's sister, Ms. Ferris, was my speed reading teacher at Spelman. Wow. So, you know, being in Atlanta and being very entrenched in Black politics and also just having the King legacy all around you, it was an amazing thing. It was an amazing thing. And to be going to an HBCU, a historically Black college, university, Spelman College, which was the first college founded for Black women fresh out of slavery. It was a heck of a time. And I'm going to tell you something else. You know, when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated and JFK were assassinated, and I watched my parents sit in front of this television set, this big wooden box in the middle of our living room, and cry their hearts out. Like a member of our families died. I knew the importance of television and the importance of news. And I think that really influenced me to want to tell stories that would be powerful enough to make you move and to make you feel something. And I think that it was the sad situation of going through Jim Crow and watching people crying and still to this day reporting those stories that is so sad that, you know, we're still here. But I know the importance of telling those stories and talking about them, not just on the news, but at home and with our friends. I think it's really important that non-Black and brown people sit around and talk about race and injustice and prejudice, because we've all seen it. We all know what it is. Nobody can act like they don't know, or they're being exaggerating, or they're just so sensitive. No, it's not that. You know better. And when we know better, as Auntie Maya said, we do better. And that's where we are as humanity right now.
Wow. Oh my gosh, Rolanda. This is so good. Oh my gosh.
Hey, Rolanda, when are you going to become Reverend Rolanda Watts?
Oh, get you? Rolanda.
Reverend Rowe.
Yeah, Reverend Rowe.
The Reverend Rowe Show.
I mean, anything about faith and, you know, God, and, you know, look at Martin Luther King. He did everything, you know, in faith with God, mm-hmm. right? I feel like this is something that I've also learned from him, you know, and I think this is my takeaway from the show, that, you know, he said that. He said, if you have a dream, let that dream, you know, make it happen. And you just don't sit there and do nothing. But then it has to be in the right, it has to be right in the eyes of the people and in the eyes of God.
That's right. That's yeah. right. I think that, yes, he did answer to a higher yeah. source. And he believed that when God said, behold, I make all things new, that you had to have faith that this all of this difficulty was part of the process yeah. of reinvention, of making something new, whether yeah. it's changing the way people think. You know, I did a KKK show almost 25 years ago, where I had the KKK and young skinheads on, a show called I'm Young and I'm Racist. And, you know, I just heard today that one of the skinheads has totally done a 180, has changed his ways. He met some people of color and a Muslim woman who talked to him, and he is his heart open. And I have to believe it had to be something very spiritual that happened. So it does take something bigger than us to make these things happen. And we yeah. just, if we're soldiers of faith and we follow and do the right mm-hmm. thing, then former things will be passed away.
Amen. Well, you know what, Jess, I have to interrupt because time is an illusion, but it's yeah. not on radio.
Yeah, I know. You know, we've been talking.
Bro, because yes. there's a song, you know, an old church song, there's an army rising up.
No, the famous song during Martin Luther King's day, we ain't to war no more.
That's right. So, Jess, let's wrap the show. You got a hard wrap with Ro. You got 30 seconds left. We got to go into the immigration show. But real quick about immigrations, Ro, this show that we're going to play right next here on The Polished Woman with your host, Jessica Arbunavich, follow her at The Polished Woman on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You know, we had a show about immigrant women who came to America who had that dream, who when Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, they too said it. They came to this country. They fulfilled it. It's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible. Well, you know something, you know, that's where that dream comes. Dreams do come true. And that's you know, if you believe it and you go for it, that's what makes it come true, is you're believing.
Amen.
And that's faith again. Yep. You know?
It's gonna happen. So
Jess, you gotta wrap it, girl.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rolanda.
You're welcome. Send so much love.
You know, when we were talking, I felt, you know, his spirit here, and there's just so much love in the air.
Oh, good. Well, you know, so I love you.
I love you. Thank you so much, Max. Thank you, everyone. And now we are going to our show with the immigrant, their lives, how they built their lives as an immigrant here in the United States. You know what? Follow your dreams, you guys, and do something. All right. Thank you.
Give love to the next person, right, Jess?
Love to the next person that you see after listening to our show.
And stay tuned right now to The Polished Woman, because you're going to learn about immigrant women who had a dream and who succeeded here on The Polished Woman. Stay tuned. Good night, Jess. Jess, I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
Polish Women. Yay, happy Monday. Oh my gosh, today is a very, very special episode. It's very dear to my heart because I am one of them.
Yes.
You know, because immigration has become a major political issue, right? That's why I said, why don't I invite a co-immigrant like me on the show who succeeded here in LA? I mean, not just in LA, in the US, but went through tough times. So I'm like, okay, I want to talk about this. And of course, I want to get someone, a fellow Filipina, right, who came to the US.
Success. Why are you calling me, Jessica?
Yes. And of course, this beautiful lady on this. Okay, so I'm going to introduce them. Dr. Tess Mauricio, she's from the Philippines, and she's very successful here. She has a lot of TV shows here. She's been all over the TV shows in the US. And she just won an award.
Oh,
Dr. Tess Mauricio.
Yes, thank you for coming. I'm happy to be here.
And Nina Dunking, she's, originally, you're
from
French.
From Cameroon.
Yeah, from Cameroon. Oh. Yeah, from Cameroon. I was like, where is Cameroon? And she moved here to LA at age, very young age, zero money, but now has her own business.
Thank you.
Immigrant
women, do it. That's why we're all tired.
That's why we're all tired, but we still have to look good.
Exactly,
polished.
Yes,
very important.
Okay, Dom, okay, for the two of you, what inspired you to move here and, you know, and leaving the native country you're from? Let's start with you, Dom.
Yeah, so with me, it wasn't really my choice. You know, my family moved to the U.S. when I was 12, 1984, a long time ago. Yes. And essentially, I've, you know, just uprooted the whole family. I'm the oldest of four. And then my parents had to work two jobs to make it work, yeah. And then I became the caretaker. So it's really like, I think a lot of the children of immigrants, it's like it wasn't our choice, but we still have to do what it takes to survive and do what it takes to thrive.
Yes.
For me, I always wanted to come to the U.S. from a very young age. It was really important for me to, because I always view the U.S. as a place where you could achieve your dreams, where they can come, they could come true. So it just happened that after I got my master's degree, I was living in Tunisia. I started looking for school, and I found a school here at UCLA, and then I moved in here in the rest of it. Kind of like history.
Oh, that's so good.
UCLA,
I know, that's good. Dr. Tess, have you always imagined yourself being a dermatologist? Or I mean, you said you moved here at 12, but, you know, looking back, were you like, okay, I really want to be a doctor. This is what I want to be.
I think because I was the main caretaker for my three younger siblings. And I think for Filipinos, it's in our genetics to be caring, to be a caretaker. So I've always imagined myself being a doctor.
Yeah.
But dermatology came, you know, I actually, when I was at Stanford Med School as a student, I thought I wanted to be a psychiatrist because I really wanted to impact the way people feel, you know, the psychological well-being. But when I did a rotation in dermatology, I realized when you help people with their skin, whether that's acne, psoriasis, eczema, you really boost their, you know, confidence. Their self-esteem, you improve their quality of life. And then, so I said, that's it. And I also grew up with a lot of skin issues myself. Yeah. And so I think that was a natural course. It's all about making my patients feel their very best.
Oh, I wish you were a psychologist. I would go to you.
You know,
I would go see you.
It's interesting. A lot of my patients have stopped going to their psychologist. They said, I just go to Dr. Chess. I don't need to see a psychiatrist.
I just talk to you. Well, maybe I should go to you and then have my skin done.
I love it.
To you.
Let's do it.
Yes, that sounds really good.
How about you, Nina? What made you, you know, go to this business? What made you decide, okay, this is what I want to do? You said someone helped you.
Yes. Yeah, to me, I really look at it like when I was moving to the U.S., I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I say to myself, if there's any place where this could happen, it has to be in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, coming from an immigrant background, a lot of time when you finish school, your parents usually expect you to go climb the corporate ladder. Okay. So that's kind of the natural path for most of us. Yeah. So I went through that. I tried, and I gave it a really good try until I realized that I was comfortable being uncomfortable. What that means is, like, you know, you go to work every day for the most part, and but you always aspire and try to do some more. You feel really limited. So at some point I was getting to my breaking point at my work, and I talk about it with my ex-colleague. And, like, I kept talking about my idea. The first time I talked about it, he was like, oh, my God, this is great. And then when I kept talking about it, at some point, he said, you know what? I want to help you out because I really believe in you.
Yeah.
I mean, that was very something.
Yes,
that's something that, you know, you don't really have. It doesn't really happen because sometimes in our community, there's not much support because people feel like, why are you trying to be better than us? Why don't you go and clock in and clock out like the rest of us
That's true, right?
It's like, why would, what are you trying to prove? So he's from my country. He's from Cameroon. And then the fact that he was able to see beyond my flaws and my current condition and say to himself, it's like, okay, I can see you getting there, and I want you to help you get there. That was really brave. So then we met, we sat down, and then we came, you know, to some kind of, like, agreement and how we, he's going to loan me some money, and I will get started. And that's how I got started, and really that was, like, the thing that really made me understand, like, no, I have someone that is going to hold me accountable because not only I have to reimburse him, but I have to make him proud. And that was, you know, that's how I got into business.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Dr. Tess, were you, did you have any struggle, you know, as, you know, you know, as an immigrant, as a, you know, as a Filipino, you know, somehow you kind of still feel like, okay, kind of, I don't, Do I belong here or no?
I think it's like struggles that you normally...
When
is it not a struggle? You know, I think when you're a woman, that alone, and then when you're an immigrant, and I really, you know, love what you're what you said because I think going here and being the first, you know, I'm the first doctor in my family, and you just, and then I became an entrepreneur too. You don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Yeah. You don't have kind of the guidance. You don't have the role models. You don't you don't have that. And that's really something that, you know, you just kind of learn. And then, you know, you there's all these difficulties. First of all, like, you don't have the access to a lot of things like money, you know, connections, right? Know-how.
You really, really start from nothing.
You have to start from nothing. And that means... you have to work harder than anybody. You have to be better than anybody if anyone was even going to give you a chance. And there's definitely many times in my life where I felt like, you know, I deserved something. I deserved a title. I deserved a position and not get it. And it'd be very heartbreaking. And it'd be very easy to just quit because it does break your heart. But then if you kept going... it is a struggle. It's a fight. But, you know, in the end, I think it's so important for all of us to do it because then we will be role models for the next generation.
I really
think it's that. But I really think it is a struggle the whole way. There are easier days, but every day is that. But, you know, I think just I just have a grateful heart. And I just thank God that, you know, I'm here.
You're here and you're successful. How about you? Where, I mean, of course, we already knew the struggles and everything, but was it, what is the hardest part of you being an immigrant here? What was the hardest, you know, part of your life when you moved here, the struggle that you had?
So to me, honestly, I always refuse to
look... Was English your first language?
First of all, no, it's not. So it's French. So let's start with the obvious.
That's the hardest one. That's the very first thing.
That was my problem in the beginning.
It's the very first thing because... And then not only that, it's just like in Cameroon, we learn the British English, so different accent, different slangs.
I mean, it's cool. It sounds cool.
I know.
It's a very different thing. Thank you. And then, you know, you get here, it's totally different. But yes, so yeah, language barrier, obviously, it's a huge one. But, you know, my English was already, was a kind of okay, pretty good when I got here. So that was not so much an issue for me. And honestly, I do, the way I look at my situations, like I refuse to look at myself as a victim, otherwise I'll never get things done. Mm-hmm. So I acknowledge the struggles coming from my, you know, say my gender, my ethnicity background, my skin color, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I never let it, like, you know, be the reason why I would not push an open door, because sometimes I have some discussion with people and they're like, oh yeah, they never get job to black people, they never get a job. I'm like, well, guess what? Mm-hmm. It's like lottery. If you don't play, you don't win. Yeah. And I get the situation, how difficult it is. But the reality is that if I had to wake up every day the mindset that I could get into a car accident, if I get in a car, whatever, then I would never get. I would just stay home and I would let my dreams die. So I refuse to think that way. Now, the hardest part for me was actually to start.
Yes.
People always say, yes, you know, here's a dream, here's a plan. The hardest thing was to believe that I could get started, that I will find the perfect moment.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no such thing as the perfect moment.
Yeah.
So every time you procrastinate, you're like, oh maybe I need this. I need more money. maybe I need to get married first. Maybe I shouldn't get married first. Maybe there's all those factors that you kind of like comes to your mind and you're like, you keep pushing and delaying and delaying. Because really, that voice in your head, your brain is there to tell you, like, you can't do this, you're not ready. Yeah, and then people tell you the same thing. So to be able to exclude all those voices, including your voices, was the hardest thing for me.
Yeah, do it, like, right away. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Procrastinate. Yeah. I always tell my kids that. Do that. What is that, mom? Hold on. I'm going to pronounce it. Procrastinate. Do not delay, so whatever.
Cute. Yes, now, we got you.
I have a question for you. I mean, I don't know if this applies for you as well, but... Okay, this was like a topic that we talked about when I had a couple of women, successful women, women, and I met with Faith Bautista, our friend. I said, you know, one problem that we are actually, that I felt when I moved here in the U.S. is a lot of our Filipino, I don't know if it, I think it does, right, for African-American people as well, that we don't support each other. I've encountered going to something, an important thing, and when I found out it was Filipino, all of a sudden my stomach just got, you know, I don't know, I felt something odd, and you know what? The same two places that I've been to, I was denied, and I knew somehow in my heart because it was a Filipino person, and you know what? And we all talked together, and we admitted, we're like, I said, how can we change that? Why are we supporting other people, and why are they not supporting people with the same background or ethnicity? And why is that, do you think? We talked about, and we even said, I don't think that's ever going to change. I said, why?
Yeah.
Have you encountered that as well?
No, definitely. It's one of my biggest frustrations, too, because, you know you're trying to do something that I think can elevate the entire community. But then, you know, I think it's human nature.
Okay.
I think it's human nature to be jealous, to feel bad when other people are succeeding, because you feel like you're less because someone is doing better than you.
Yeah.
And so now I've kind of gotten to a point where, you know, okay, I understand that that's there.
Yeah.
It does, you know, nowadays I think of it almost like I'll just keep going, because eventually they'll also understand why you're doing it.
Yes.
And I think that once they understand that it's not just for selfish reasons, that, you know, this is something that can benefit them or their children or, you know, elevate the whole, you know, community, then I think they're more likely to help you. But I think that's true working with other women, not just like, you know, Filipino women. And I think there's it's almost easier to work with men in a way.
Yeah,
right?
No, true.
Listen.
That's
like,
so
when you're
true.
Down at my end, but because it's very funny. We have
so
similar.
True.
This is true. This
is
true.
And
that
especially
so
if
true.
You, especially
true.
If you care about how you look.
Yeah,
or, you know, I mean, and all of that. So I think it comes from that, and it's a human nature. It's almost like, you know, protecting your own interests, and so hopefully. as you keep going with your work and you're making a difference, people will really understand your true heart.
We should all like
purpose.
Have a meeting and support. I love it, right?
Because if we can only do that as Filipinos, I think we will have gotten so much farther.
I know. Have you had any experience?
Well, it's absolutely the same thing. Not only it is true, but I was talking about it with my friend yesterday.
Yeah.
So my friend will actually loan me the money, yes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is a very...
Your friend that loaned you the money.
Yeah,
he's
so supportive. It's ridiculous. Not only that, he signed up for my product. He's been harassing his friends and family to sign up for my product. Yeah. And that, like I said, is that he's a man. Like, even when we don't see eye to eye on certain things, it's never personal. It's never like that deep. It's like, oh, but I told you. Oh, yes, I told you. Another, and then like, oh, whatever. Okay, what are you doing? It's like, women hold grudges like this. Like, it's extremely difficult sometimes. Yeah. And then in terms of the support coming from the community, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you do not get, you know, the people do not recognize what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
They do not support you for the most part. So it's really a close circle, your friends maybe that would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, like the community, people are not going to say, we're going to stand up for you while you're going through all this. To me, which is fine, to be honest with you, because when it also helps you kind of get out of your inner circle, especially when you're trying to get customer to actually reach other people. Because the beauty about, especially if you're doing something that is about your culture, the beauty about it is really not like, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too religious, but like Jesus would sometimes say, it's like, you know, you go preach to people outside, you know, like not people in your inner circle. So when you go to like people that are not your friends, that people were like, you know, probably not going to be listening to your message, when you're able to bring those people in, those are the people that have more value, because that's like, it's supposedly more difficult. So that's fine. So sometimes, you know, you might not be like recognized within your inner circle, but like people outside will see your value, and then at that point, then people from your community will start calling you.
That's really
what it is, right? You know what it is. It's like,
because Filipinos are very good at, you know, feeling proud, like you know, Marcelita Pomoy with America's Got Talent, and
oh my God, that's
all
so
the
true.
Filipinos loved that. You know, Manny Pacquiao and the Miss Universe,
and
so.
That Filipino guy, the journey.
Yes,
guy.
Yes, Arnel Pineda. So I think, like you said, when you become, you know, a mainstream and the mainstream world accept you, then they're like, hey, maybe you should be proud of you know.
And then maybe start helping other you know, Filipino and other, you know, people as
well
with the same
ethnicity,
right?
I think it's getting better.
I hope so. Because I told our pet faith, I said, we have to have this meeting
for
every,
our children. I think in our children's generation, it will be better.
I know.
I think down the road, things are going to get better with time. It can only get better as, you know, a lot more people try to. The point with entrepreneurship, people don't understand what it is. They don't understand what it means. They don't understand the struggle. They don't understand. It's a very foreign line for them. So they don't really understand why they should do all this thing like liking your picture or like, you know, share your message or whatever. Yeah. They don't get it because they're so close in their 9-to-5 job. Like now that I'm an entrepreneur, I see the value more of supporting the brand because I know what I'm going through.
That's
what you
mean.
It's
true.
So, I know.
So for them, it's like, why should I praise your no one praise my 9-to-5 job. Why should I praise you? It's literally like that.
Oh my God. We shouldn't do that. We have to praise each other.
No, I think it's getting better. Women empowerment. There's so many hashtags now. And so I really feel like it is getting better for women. We are looking at other women now, not so much as competition, but, you know, we can either help them be empowered or they can inspire us. Yeah. And, you know, and that's my hope.
This is why our show is Women for Women. Right. I know. I'm so happy to really, you know, talk to you guys about this whole thing, because it really, you know, I know that a lot of our viewers will be, oh my gosh, okay, now I can really ask another Filipino or another, Cameroonian, you know, and ask for help and be able to succeed with whatever dreams they have, you know, for themselves. I know, and sisterhood.
That's right.
I know. Yeah. I was, you know why I was, what do you call that, inspired by the one that won Oscars, which is Parasite. Mm. That's the reason why I wanted to talk about this whole immigration is because when they thanked, the producer stood up and she's like, she thanked, I want to thank my fellow Koreans. That's the only one she thanked. Wow. Because they really supported each other. Yeah.
You know, my husband's his parents are from Korea. And yeah. I think that's the difference with, Filipinos versus Koreans. I think there's certain...
they really love their whole, you know?
Yeah, they're almost too nationalistic in a way. But I guess, there's pros and cons to all. Yeah. But I think a gift, you put it out there.
Yeah.
And then you just hope that people
yes.
accept it. See, and accept then know it. And be inspired by your stories. That's why I'm so happy that you're telling stories with your show, because I'm a big believer in sharing stories so that you can inspire. You don't know who's listening right now.
Exactly.
Who even is struggling.
Even if it's only one person, right?
Yeah. Who's struggling, who's an immigrant, who's a woman, whose heart is broken, whose spirit's broken. Because you do go through those phases.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're like, I should just quit.
No, don't
not
quit.
Not good enough. You know.
Don't quit.
Yeah, don't quit.
Yeah, speaking of this, oh, my gosh. Our show is it's too short. I want you guys to talk to them, whoever is watching right now, an immigrant who is maybe losing his or her faith to move, to move forward and stay here. Can you give them three advices? First, let's start with you, Dr.
Okay, well, I always tell people, do and be your very best every day.
Okay.
And this, and I tell this to my kids, it's like, if you've done your best, you live your life without regrets, and you just don't know who is looking at you. You don't know what opportunities are opening just because you are being your best and you are doing your very best. Number two, you really need to preserve your relationships. I think with, women who are entrepreneurs and are go-getters, a lot of times we can ignore the people around us, our family, our spouses, our children. And I think preserving those relationships will make it meaningful once you reach your goal in your career, and have faith. Like, I really feel like in my life I've gone through a lot, where it's my dad being sick to my husband going through a brain tumor and all of that, and what we had to go through. It's really having faith, my deep faith in God, and knowing that there is a plan. And believing in that and having hope and peace in your life through God. And my faith has really helped me.
Oh, God. Yes. God is always like the best. He always helps us.
Yes.
Thank you. That was a good one. How about you, Nina?
Oh, boy. Okay. So to me, the very first thing that comes to my mind is understanding your hero's journey. I like to use that word because really... if you don't know where you come from, then you don't know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you're probably going the wrong way. So that's the very first thing they have to understand. So, like, really go through everything that you've been through. Understand everything that you were able to accomplish so that you'll be able to write it down, so that you'll be able to celebrate a small success. And then when you put them together, you will see the big win. Because sometimes in life, we're very hard on ourselves. We feel like we're failures. But when I started this business, I realized there's a lot of things that I've learned, and I thought they were failure, but they were preparing me to be ready for what I'm doing right now. So really understand your journey. The second thing is, like, when you decide to start your business, be committed to your commitment. What I'm saying is, like, a lot of time in this new generation, we take a lot of things lightly. It's very, our attention span is very short. Mm-hmm. So when you start something, no matter how difficult it is, again, going back to your hero journey, you understand where you're coming from. So you know this is another phase from your hero journey. Be committed. Don't give up that easily, because an entrepreneur is someone who jump off the cliff and then grow wings on the way down. That's just what it is. You're going to learn that way. So stay committed. The third one that I want to say is that when you are committed to what you're doing, and then you start growing your business, hopefully everything is going smoothly, be able to, like, really restrict your circle to the people who actually going to nurture that that dream for you and that vision. Good. Because a lot of time, again, a lot of time we're all human beings is that you have the dream, you're doing well, but because of the relationship that you have currently at that moment, it could kill your dream and actually lead you back to where you're beginning. Because those people, they want you sometime to be where you left, that place, that dark place that you left. So, like, just nurture your relationship and then everything will be fine.
Wow.
So, those are my travels.
That's so good.
Thank Excellent.
Thank you so much, guys. Doctor, where can they find you? I know you have two shows.
Sure, yeah. So, you can go on
yeah.
mbeautyclinic.com and we have offices in San Diego, Chula Vista, and Beverly Hills. Yeah. You can see me on NBC's California Live and GMA Pinoy TV's All in the Family with Dr. Tess. Yeah. We start season 3 in April.
So. That's good. Yeah. And by the way, I did her time machine.
Yeah.
Time machine.
That's her most popular.
I know. If you always ask, what do you do? I did so many things, but I did the time machine.
Yes.
So good. How about you, Nina? Where can they find you? And can you please, you know,
yes.
your product?
Yes. So this is for you, actually. Oh, I got it for you. I was listening to no one else, but... So, yes, so it's called Globox Village. Mm-hmm. If you want, you could open the box and then it's a little tricky. But I made this all in fine. So, right here, it's Globox Village. Mm-hmm. Globox Village is a subscription box business, and every month we send curated boxes to our customers. Depending on the plan that they pick, it could be like go local, it's product from the US only, America's around the world. And this then global is product from around the world. So this is a hand fan from Africa.
Beautiful.
Handmade, like from scratch, pretty sturdy, as you can see.
Look, it matches the little
I was just saying a second guess, but you give me your contact information, I'll make it right.
Beautiful.
So this is a dark chocolate from Peru. Very, very nice and healthy.
Mm-hmm,
and this
chocolate is
a vinegar with wine. So don't drink it. It's for If you do, then I'm not responsible.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Wait, I should put my vagina water here. This is so beautiful.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
It's so hard to be an entrepreneur.
Aren't you proud of my two girls, my two ladies? Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, my God. I'm so proud. See, okay. If you see the three of us who are sitting here right now, you know, we all did it. We all made it to the...
Doing it.
Yeah, doing it.
Doing it.
Don't stop. Don't be complacent. I mean, it's continuous struggle, but don't stop and never give up.
Yes.
All right? And also, you know, you have to have faith. You have to have God in your life. It's really... I think he will guide you.
It's the key.
It's the key. He will guide you.
Totally.
Okay, I love you so much, guys. And thank you so much for coming.
Have a good day.
Give love to the next person that you see after watching our show.
Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers, ladies. Oh, my God.
The past.